It's time now for Visit Moffitt County, a community affairs program, an informative show on everything that's going on in and around Moffitt County, made possible by Blizzard Broadcasting. Now here's your host, Tom Kleinschnitz.
Welcome to Visit Moffitt County. This is a program, a public service announcement, opportunity provided by Blizzard Communications. We are grateful for this time to inform people of Northwest Colorado about what's going on in Moffitt County. As always, remember, we are 5,000 watts that sound like a million. I'll be serving as your host today. My name is Tom Kleinschnitz. I currently serve the people of Moffitt County as Director of Moffitt County Tourism. I have the pleasure of speaking to three individuals today. First, we have both Kirsty McPherson and Jennifer Paroli with the Office of Just Transition. And then we'll finish up with Candy Dildine. She's the in charge of the Homemade Homegrown Festival later this year in Craig, and she also is active with the Downtown Business Association. We'll start with Jennifer Paroli. First, let's start with Jennifer. Welcome, Jennifer.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, let's get started. And, you know, you've got a new position with Just Transition. To start with, tell us about your background and how you came to be a coal transition navigator for the Office of Just Transition.
Thank you. Yeah, so I'm a fourth-generation Colorado native who moved to Craig 3 years ago. My background is in medicine and as a social worker for individuals with disabilities. I'm a strong advocate with and for people, and I took this position to support my friends and neighbors through this difficult transition. The OJT has 6 staff members focused on various impacts on communities and workers of the coal transition throughout the state. I'm specifically supporting coal workers in the Yampa region only, including Moffitt, Rio Blanco, and Rout County.
Okay. What have you been working on to get started in this role? It's obviously a brand new position.
It is, yeah. So my current focus is to identify all the resources that are already available in our community and region. And I'm also working with my colleagues at OJT to build out the pre-closure strategies. My goal is to be a one-stop shopping resource, if you will, for workers and their families to learn more about all of these resources and programs.
Well, it's obviously a huge transition coming to our community, and I think your position is critical for getting right at the individuals, and it sounds like that's exactly what you'll be doing. Tell me about some of the resources that you're working on related jobs for workers and their families.
Yeah, so first, we're connecting with and partnering with the resources and entities in the community that are already doing this work. And then we at the OJT are launching a 7 strategy pre-closure transition worker program. My position is the first of the 7 strategies. So they've been developed over the past 2 years with significant input from the workers. Our goal is to connect with the workers and their families ahead of the closure so that they can plan their own transitions and get connected with the relevant resources for their specific needs to create a successful transition. So the transition strategies, the pre-closure strategies, are first small business startup assistance. So again, we're partnering with entities in the region to support workers in starting a business and bring more available state and federal funding to our region to help with those new businesses. Second is tuition, education, training, and trade assistance. So we're working with local schools and colleges to offer classes that are flexible to meet workers' current schedules and offer what workers are interested in. OJT will build on benefits from workers' current employers to help develop new skills and competencies for new careers. Tuition assistance will also be available for family members. The third is credit and certification for existing skills. So we're partnering with entities like the Workforce Office to help each worker identify their existing skills and expertise to build resumes that reflect their skill level and expertise in relatable fields, receive credit and certifications for those skills, and identify career fields that could have comparable pay. OJT is also working with industry leaders to identify entities that are seeking our skilled workers and build skills while still working at their current jobs so they're ready to move when the closure happens. The fourth is financial and retirement planning. So we're partnering with local banks who can offer financial expertise to help workers understand their financial options and build financial security for their families. This also includes working with employers and unions to identify all currently available benefits and to ensure impacted workers know what is already available for them. Then peer coaching and well-being support. So other coal and auto industry transitions have utilized a peer support or peer coaching approach which has had a lot of success and positive impact on workers through camaraderie with others who are experiencing a major career transition. So we're looking for volunteers to participate in this program to support their peers. We're also working to ensure that people have access to counseling and other supportive services if they would like. And lastly, building a transition hub. So eventually we will have a location where people can come and meet with me and have access to these services. But for now, I'm happy to meet people where they'd like to meet.
Well, it sounds like you're being very flexible and have a comprehensive look at what all of the needs for people in transition have going. You know, I think a lot of people don't realize that these kinds of transitions are happening all across the United States. And I think some of the tools need to be applied here as well as other places. So I'm sure you've been able to pick up some of those things from other places. But a transition hub sounds great, but it also sounds great that you'll go to individuals and really figure out what they need, because I'm sure every single individual has separate needs and separate priorities for going forward.
Absolutely.
Let's see. What does a meeting look like when you actually meet with somebody has a transition job? What does it look like, and what do you specifically have to offer these people?
Yeah. So first, I want to be clear that all of these meetings are voluntary. So I'm here for workers and families if they want, but it's completely up to them. I hope over time the word will get out that our services are helpful and more will decide to look into them. Any meeting with me is about sharing information. So I'm happy to share with you all of the work that's happening in our community, industries and opportunities for jobs after closure, building skills and resumes, any resources that could be available to support your transition plan, talking about what you and your family are interested in and how we work together to get you there. As we roll out the pre-closure strategies, I'll be able to help workers decide which apply to them and put them in touch with services that they're interested in.
Well, great. So what else do you want people to know about this program, specifically everybody in our community and the people affected?
So I would just appreciate an opportunity to meet, to share concerns, to answer questions, and how I can help anyone make their own plan about what they want their future to look like.
So what's the best place? How do people reach you? What's the contact to reach you and get this kind of help?
Yeah, so my email is the best way to reach me. It's Jennifer, JennifeR, .Peroni. It's P as in Paul, IERONI, @ state.co.us. Or my number is 720-869-4032. And like I said, I'm happy to meet with anyone wherever is most convenient and comfortable for them.
Jennifer, I think it's a great investment that's being made to have your new position put out there. I really hope that many people in our community can contact you and connect and take advantage of all the things that you're offering. It sounds fantastic. Thank you for coming and speaking to us today. Again, what you're doing is incredibly important. We're going to take a break here. We'll return with Kirsty McPherson, and she is also with the Office of Just Transition. We'll be right back.
We'll be back with more Visit Moffitt County, an informative show on everything that's going on in and around Moffitt County, made possible by Blizzard Broadcasting and heard right here on KRAI Craig, 55 Country at 550 AM and 105.1 FM, and on KRAI FM at 102.3 and 93.7.
Shannon Lukens here. Time now for the Legal Minute from Bell & Pollock. For more legal advice, check out their library of radio shows and videos available now at championsofthepeople.com.
Hi, I'm Gary Bell of the law firm of Bell & Pollock. We are injury attorneys, and this is your Legal Minute. You were involved in a car crash. You were rear-ended. You went to the emergency room. You went to your doctors. You're seeking conservative modalities of treatment. You're wondering what to do. Should you hire an attorney? How do you hire an attorney? How do you hire an injury attorney? What do you do? What do you look for? I'll tell tell you one thing. I call it a drive-by. Brad calls it a drive-by. You want to try to avoid the law firms that do just send somebody to your home or to your office or to your hospital room with the paperwork and you don't meet with a licensed attorney. At Bell & Pollock, you're going to meet with a licensed attorney. You're going to get an initial consultation free and a free, significant, meaningful legal game plan. Go look up our book on our website, Legal Game Plan, championsofthepeople.com. We'll help you.
Get more information or help from Bell & Pollock at championsofthepeople.com.
If you've ever wondered if it matters where you deposit your hard-earned money, let me assure you it does. This is Catherine Blevins, Craig Market President of Yampa Valley Bank. Community banks like Yampa Valley Bank take in deposits and distribute loans to local businesses that feed our local economy, keeping your money right here in the Yampa Valley and surrounding areas. The profits generated from these businesses employ residents, fund municipalities by generating sales, property, and employment taxes, and continue the cycle of locally based economic growth. When you walk into Yampa Valley Bank, you are greeted by talented team members who are familiar with your needs and empowered to act on your behalf. And when our employees log volunteer hours in support of community events or nonprofit organizations that you support or depend on, we are working toward our goal of ensuring economic prosperity for the community we call home. April is Community Banking Month, and I want to thank our Yampa Valley Bank customers for putting their trust in us for their banking needs. Community banks like Yampa Valley Bank are only successful if our customers and communities are too. Join us in helping to build a more sustainable, vibrant economy right here at home. Genuine hometown banking. We bank on people. Yampa Valley Bank, member FDIC.
You drove the miles and your tires are done. Got to shop the best prices under the sun at Big O. Big O Tires.
Shop top brand tires with the lowest tire price guarantee. And visit your locally owned Big O Tires. Now through June 2nd, buy three, get one free on four select in stock Cooper, Nexen, Nitto, National or Sumitomo brand tires with installation purchase. Installation required. Disposal fees and shop fees extra but permitted. See store for pricing. Eligibility may vary. Not valid with other offers. Match applies to identical tires at regular retail price. Exclusions apply. See dealer for details.
Oh yeah, summer's here and it's time to figure out your summer gig. Well, have no fear, my out-of-work ski bum friend. Like a weekday powder day, Central Park Liquor is here to save the day. CPL has night shifts available with competitive pay. You can shred the mountain bike trails, hike, and fly fish during the day, and then clock into Central Park Liquor for some tasty night shift hours. Like a fine powder stash, these jobs won't last long, so swing by Central Park Liquor today and grab an app.
Are you ready to rev up your career? Then join our team at One Off Performance. Jason here, and we are currently seeking a skilled automotive technician to help us continue to deliver top quality service to the Valley. If you have a strong knowledge of most makes and models of vehicles with a good safety record and a high degree of attention to detail, then we want to hear from you. We offer great benefits, including a five-day work week, paid vacations, health insurance, paid training, and much more. You'll work with up-to-date equipment, receive technician support, and enjoy a productive, rewarding working environment, all in a top-notch facility. So if you're ready to accelerate your future, then give us a call at 970-871-1346. That's 970-871-1346. Or stop by the shop at 2565 Copper Ridge Drive. Be sure to provide a resume and three references. ASC certification is preferred but not required. Are you a certified technician with a passion for the industry? One Off Auto Center is the perfect place for you. One Off Auto Center is an equal opportunity employer.
We go the extra mile.
Alpine Lumber is making it easy for all your projects. Opening their doors on Saturday, they have all the building materials and tools you'll need, an extensive paint and stain department, and employee owners that can point you in the right direction to get your projects done. Alpine Lumber, the contractor's choice and the homeowner's friend. Easy to find on the other side of the tracks from Walgreens. Alpine Lumber, now open Monday through Saturday for all your building material needs.
It's time now for Visit Moffitt County, a community affairs program, an informative show on everything that's going on in and around Moffitt County, made possible by Blizzard Broadcasting. Now here's your host, Tom Kleinschnitz.
Welcome back to Visit Moffitt County. We're speaking with Kirsty McPherson with the Office of Just Transition. Kirsty, welcome.
Hey, Tom, how are you?
Really good. It's a wonderful spring day in Moffitt County. For context, for people that don't know you, tell us a little bit about your background and maybe how you got started with this position with Just Transition.
Yeah, so my name is Kirsty McPherson. I'm actually born and raised in Craig. The coal industry raised me. My dad was a coal miner at Colorado for 45 years. He retired last May. And so this is something that's pretty near and dear to my heart just because it's, like I said, I mean, the coal industry raised me. All of our friends and family have been a part of this industry. So I've actually been with the office for about 2.5 years and have worked predominantly with communities on our granting program. As the transition timeline is inching closer, though, I'm starting to transition a little bit more towards implementing the OJT action plan. And this is working with communities and partners to execute the community transition strategies in each area. And so my primary focus is to help communities replace the tax base, replace and create jobs, and diversify the economy by attracting and retaining businesses. I got into this work because I've been in economic development for about 10 years. And I kind of carved out my niche working all over the country. So in Minnesota and Kentucky and a variety of other places working on large-scale industry transitions. So it's pretty cool to be able to do this in my own backyard and help my state.
Well, it's certainly an important place, and we do need a lot of expertise to make this transition. So clearly the office and investing in you and being a homegrown person will certainly help. You know the context, and you can help with some of the solutions. Tell us more about the Office of Just Transition. I don't think our audience completely knows. They've heard the name. They understand what's going on, but what is its purpose, and exactly what does OJT mean for the community?
Yeah, so OJT was created by the legislature in 2019 because they recognized that transitioning away from a coal-based energy generation would cause disruption in many communities and for many people. And they wanted to provide support for the transition. And so with that, OJT, through the legislature, has two main goals. The first is to support Colorado's coal workers, and the second is to support the transitioning community. It's also kind of important to note during this time, too, that this is the very first office of its kind in the country. And so we led the charge in 2019, and since then we've seen other offices pop up in Montana, in Minnesota, New York, New Mexico. So it's really cool to kind of be leading the state, but also be able to work on a national level on how everyone is handling this transition so differently. So for coal communities specifically, this means that we are supporting community efforts to retain and create jobs and broaden the property tax base and increase economic diversity. As everyone knows, that our primary of our tax base is over 50% in the energy industry here in Moffitt County. So being able to diversify, attract new businesses, be able to create a different tax base, all of these different things is hugely important to not only increase the tax base, but also increase jobs. And so some of the activities that we work with around that are to be able to create a BRE program, so that's business retention and expansion. We have a very large grant program, so about $15 million that for the entire state around implementing individual communities transition strategies. We also help with communities to be able to intervene in the Public Utility Commission process, a variety of things like that. And then in terms of supporting transition workers, OJT is developing the broad set of strategies that you heard about earlier that Jennifer kind of talked about, and be able to provide a worker assistance program, both pre-closure and post-closure, and how to be able to move forward with all those things. So with most closures scheduled for 2 to 5 years from now, this should give us a chance to at least help workers in the community get ahead of the curve on what it is that we're focusing on.
Well, it sounds, you know, to go back to something that you said, I think that needs to be emphasized, that 50% of more than 50% of the property tax base for the county is in the extraction industry. And with this transition, that seems like a huge piece that needs to be fixed.
Yeah, it is it's a really large undertaking. And so everyone on the leadership roles within the communities, county commissioner, city council, economic development, your role within tourism, everyone has a very, very big piece to play within all of this on attracting new industry here, as well as retaining the industry that we also have. So think of like the supply chain workers and some of these other things in the supply chain businesses that support the mines and the extraction industry. So it's a very large whole. And so one of the big things that I always kind of talk about is this really does truly have to be led from private sector. They are who creates the jobs and creates the tax base. And our job is to be able to work with the communities and to be able to help open up those avenues to be able to diversify their economy.
Great. Well, specifically, what are the transition strategies? What does it mean in this context to give examples? What are some examples that other communities are doing?
Yeah, so I want to kind of back up just a little bit and kind of talk about just overall economic development strategies. So typically, when you're thinking about an economic development strategy, you're thinking about like the really broad community-based context. So this is everything from housing to infrastructure, business attraction, placemaking, and beyond. So a transition strategy, though, likely covers many of these aspects, but is really more wholly focused on the gaps left behind from a large employer leaving. So the strategy can include things such as tax-based loss and evaluation, what types of industries should be the primary focus to replace the tax loss, who specifically are we attracting that the workers would be able to kind of adjust this into, retaining current businesses. We have large-scale employment factors that are included in strategies. Who is staying? What skills do they have? What businesses make sense to attract based on these skills? What the community wants to do next? And then other items such as infrastructure improvements, business park creation, and marketing activities. I think one of the biggest things that we kind of have realized through this transition is that energy communities such as Craig or Nuclear Natarita, a lot of these other places, they were created to be energy towns. So their infrastructure is created to be energy towns. So that's just kind of just an interesting component when you're looking at what the transition strategy actually has to do and what it should be filling as far as the gap. We can look at places such as Appalachia and how they created all of their different community networking activities. We can look at coal transition communities in Virginia and Pennsylvania. But I really like to look at other industries and how they've transitioned. So within timber, iron ore, some of these other things, the larger industries within Minnesota and other states. And largely, most of these communities either try to attract a business that has similar or like two skills for their workers, but they also have to really diversify and look at tourism. Like, how are people coming into this community? What are they doing? What activities do they see? Because those people that are coming into the community are also coming in and likely maybe want to live here. Like, can they bring a business? What can they do? So there's a whole variety of different things that end up happening.
Well, one of the things that you said, and I think needs to be emphasized back, is that it sounds like OJT is listening to the community. And I think that is part of a path forward, is to understanding what the community wants as it goes forward. So working with the OJT working with communities, what are specifically some transition strategies?
Yeah, so I think it's really important to make note that OJT works with the communities as a partner in their transition strategies. It's also important to note that each community is likely defining their transition strategy differently. Some are more regional focused, so we can look at different organizations that exist within the Yampa Valley, such as the NWCDC. And then some are definitely doing more specific development strategies, and that they're adding their own components too. So we're able to provide a grant program that is ideally used to help communities implement their transition strategies and fund activities that wouldn't otherwise have the ability. Additionally, we're also launching pilot programs such as the Business Retention and Expansion Program. And this works with key community partners on retaining, expanding their local businesses, including supply chain. And so, we're looking at the entire thing on what the largest impacts are going to be, partnering with the community and other stakeholders to be able to help provide the capacity and some of the funding associated with what they're trying to transition to next.
Great. So what are communities in our region doing to drive economic changes and bring a different business atmosphere to the area?
Right. So each community is impacted differently depending on the active mines, plants, et cetera. This is really true when it comes to the Yampa Valley. We can look at the difference between the Xcel plant and Tri-State plant. These are all kind of just important things to be paying attention to. Each community is responding to this because of that differently. However, what I think is really cool through this process is that the region has came together to be able to combine forces and to be able to look at what they can do, how they can be stronger together. Who can build a business park for what needs? Who has certain infrastructure? What are the different values that each community has? To be able to make a really strong case for the entire region instead of hyper-focused on one community as a whole. So activities that I think are really cool that we've noticed in the area, this includes investments into business parks. This also includes investments into entrepreneurship and infrastructure expansion. And we also see a ton of different activities around outdoor recreation and tourism. So like all of the river projects that are currently happening, we have at least had a part in helping fund or match funds for like the Diversion River project here in Craig. We've done some stuff for Meeker and Rangeley with their river projects as well. So it's cool to see how the communities are all responding to this differently, but everyone has very similar goals in mind.
Oh, great. You know, that river project, I, you know, personally just can't wait to go play and have that amenity just in front of us. What have you seen other communities do during a major economic transition? What is the light at the end of the tunnel for Craig and Northwest Colorado?
You know, this is such an interesting one because it's a long range. It's a long tunnel we're in, right? So a handful of states have now have a similar office to that of OJT. As communities nationally tackle the transition, we can look to other industries who have moved on. So I mentioned the iron ore and timber industries, some of these other ones. Many focus on retaining their downtown businesses, focusing on tourism, building on other strengths such as transportation and distribution options and opportunities, workforce preparedness, and there's so many other things that make a community a community. Really kind of focusing on what the strengths are of the culture and who, I think the biggest component of all of this is the communities get to decide who they want to be next and how they want to respond to this.
Well, the biggest question there is, what do we want to be next? What comes next? As a partner, what do you say to this question? What comes next?
Yeah, I mean, it's like what I just said, each community decides for itself what comes next, what they want to be after coal. This will take a lot of work and it will be difficult. But each of these communities has strong assets to build on. I mean, we have a great location here in Northwest in Moffett County. I mean, we have the prettiest views in the entire world. We're so fortunate to have the space. We have a strong work. I mean, our workforce is unbelievable in this area. People who go out there, work hard jobs, have skills and assets that I can only imagine what other industries would be able to do with these workers. We also have assets left after the plants and mines close. So if the community has a vision for what comes next, we will do everything we can to help them turn that vision into a reality. It comes from the community, not from us at the state. But once that vision exists, we are confident we can work together to make it happen. And we have been doing so since 2019.
It sounds like the partnership we need. So how do you work with Jennifer to support the community with workers specifically up here in Northwest Colorado?
Yeah, so the best way to look at that is from a 10,000-foot view. So without workers, there can't be industry, and without industry, the workforce has no place to go. So Jennifer and I work together by preparing the workforce transition into what's, again, next. So whether that be several new industries coming into the area or by working with supply chain companies and entrepreneurship activities. So really trying to make sure that our workforce has the option of staying and what they can do and what their skills can have. And then that's where I kind of come in and work with the community on the economic development side on what type of industry we could potentially attract, or even better, grow it from within.
Well, I think, you know, you've really covered the Office of Just Transition and your work there, obviously hugely important work. I think many people know that you're an entrepreneur in your own right. Can we take a couple of minutes and mention some of the things that you're involved with personally in various business ventures in Northwest Colorado?
Absolutely.
Tell us about what all your fun stuff. It seems like every time I turn around, you've got another little project going.
I like telling this story because it really speaks to how I got into this in the first place. When I first moved back to Craig after college, I was working a variety of things. I was at the college for the marketing director. I went over to the workforce center, and then I got into economic development consulting. And so at about the age of 24, I think I was traveling all over the country working with communities on how they should redevelop their downtown. And everyone would look at me and be like, "What do you know, kid?" And I thought that was a pretty solid point. So that's really what ended up happening when it came to how I built the wine bar. So for those who don't know, 518 Whiskey and Wine Bar in downtown Craig, 518 Yampa, as well as the Fines, was created just to be able to kind of have a proof of concept on downtown redevelopment. So we wanted to create a place where people could come down, set, connect, build community, have a sense of place. And that's kind of what lit the fire ever since. And so since then, I've created several different Airbnbs. I've bought several properties downtown. I, along with my partners, Wade and Neil Gerber, we have the distillery project that we're working on, which is truly supposed to be part of the transition, in which we're putting in a $2 million capital project, as well as pretty much guaranteeing that we're going to have 50 jobs by 2030 in the closure. And then just a whole slew of other things that I think, again, are really important to be able to just create a sense of community and space and tell our story and be able to ideally attract other things.
Well, you've certainly accomplished a bunch and provided some wonderful current assets and future assets for downtown Craig and in Northwest Colorado. Back to the Office of Just Transition. Well, what's the best way for people to reach you or the office to if they have questions?
Yeah, so I think in this community, everyone typically knows where they can find me. but you're always welcome to send me an email, which is just Kirstie, K-I-R-S-T-I-E .McPherson, M-C-P-H-E-R-S-O-N at state.co.us. Or you can text or call me at 720-417-6520. Or just find me when we're all out in the community. I would love to talk to whoever. Talking about this is one of my big passions. So,
well, obviously, you reflect that passion, and we certainly need that passion as we go forward in an amazing time and a time of great opportunity, in my view. In the next few years. So that opportunity, we need to seize on those changes. Many thanks to you and Ms. Peroni for joining us today. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be joined by Candy Dildine with the Craig Downtown Business Association. Thanks for joining us today there, Kirstie.
Thank you, Tom. It was great.
Have a great one.
We'll be back with more Visit Moffitt County, an informative show on everything that's going on in and around Moffitt County, made possible by Blizzard Broadcasting and heard right here on KRAI Craig, 55 Country at 550 AM and 105.1 FM, and on KRAI FM at 102.3 and 93.7.
Hi, this is Dave Fleming, president of Yampa Valley Bank in Craig, Colorado. Ag production is an important part of the economies of Southern Wyoming and Northwest Colorado. At Yampa Valley Bank, we are committed to providing products to meet ag producers' needs while providing the service you expect from a locally owned bank. In addition to operating lines, equipment, and livestock loans, I'm excited to introduce to you our new fixed-rate farm and ranch real estate loan product. If you have considered expanding your operation, or need to take the interest rate risk out of your current real estate loan, we can offer fixed rates from 5 to 30 years. I invite you to contact us about our pricing and the advantages of dealing with our experienced team of ag lenders. Yampa Valley Bank, genuine hometown banking. Member FDIC and equal housing lender.
Milkshake Mondays at Johnny B. Goode's Diner. Every Monday in April and May, you can get a free milkshake with the purchase of a meal. We are open every day for breakfast, lunch, dinner, or dessert. Don't miss the best milkshake in town for free on Mondays. JohnnyBGoodesDiner.com.
It's time to register for preschool at the Moffitt County School District Early Childhood Center. Your 3 or 4-year-old may be eligible for free half or even full day preschool. Our passionate educators are ready to meet your young learner. 3-year-olds can register through the school district for half day morning or afternoon sessions 4 days a week, and 4-year-olds register through the state. We ensure every child receives great age appropriate learning and play. Come by 600 Texas Avenue or call 970-826-6280 to learn how to register.
Morning people wake up for peace and quiet. McDonald's breakfast people, we wake up for the sweet rush of getting that warm, delicious breakfast right before it ends.
Level up your breakfast at McDonald's and enjoy one of our tasty new bagel sandwiches like the steak, egg, and cheese bagel, sausage, egg, and cheese bagel, or bacon, egg, and cheese bagel, and pair it with an iced coffee at participating McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Hey there, do-it-yourself enthusiasts. Remember the joy of building with Lincoln Logs and Erector Sets? Well, it's time to turn that passion into a paycheck at Steamboat Ace. This is Bridget, and we are on the lookout for talented individuals who love helping others bring their DIY dreams to life. If you're ready to join a dynamic team, apply online today. We offer more than just a job. Think competitive pay, sweet discounts, and an atmosphere where every day feels like fun. Don't miss out on your chance to make a difference, one project at a time, with Steamboat Ace Hardware.
Hi, this is Ryan.
And Paul from Brass Kitchen and Bar, downtown at 700 Yampa Street.
Inviting you in to sample our fresh and flavorful menu creations and full bar.
In April and May, we're open 7 days a week with happy hour from 3:35, serving dinner until 9 p.m.
Come see us at Brass on Monday and Tuesday for $10 tapas night.
Brass Kitchen and Bar, contemporary fun dining in a casual and cool atmosphere.
Gluten-free and vegan options and a great outdoor patio.
Check us out at brasssteamboat.com.
Open for the season. Native Ecosystems. More than the best landscape design firm in town, their garden center features annuals, perennials, trees, shrubs, hanging baskets, bagged mulch, compost, and more. Native Ecosystems. 2500 Copper Ridge Drive, just off of Elk River Road.
It's time now for Visit Moffitt County, a community affairs program, an informative show on everything that's going on in and around Moffitt County, made possible by Blizzard Broadcasting. Now here's your host, Tom Kleinschnitz.
Welcome back. This is Tom Kleinschnitz with Visit Moffitt County. We now have Candy Dildine with the Craig Downtown Business Association. Candy, welcome.
Thank you. Well, thank you for having me.
Well, I certainly appreciate you spending some time with us this morning. It's very important to kind of catch up what's going on in downtown Craig. You're obviously very active with the Downtown Business Association. But let's start with, in case people don't know you, Candy, which I'm sure 90% of people do, but tell us about yourself, how long you've lived in Northwest Colorado, and tell us about KS Creations.
All right, yeah. So I'm co-owner of KS Creations Craft Store and Bakery in downtown Craig. We're right on Yampa Avenue. We've had the craft store for 20 years and the bakery for 13. So we're keeping busy with the bakery for sure. And I've lived in Northwest Colorado my whole life. There's been a couple times we moved away for just a few years, but we always keep coming back. We love it here.
Well, I know that when I cruise up Yampa Avenue each day, that KS Creation is open and been open long before I get to work. What time do you guys get there?
So, yeah, I get here about 6 o'clock most mornings. Sometimes if we have special orders, then I have to be here earlier, sometimes as early as 5. So, yeah, and then we're open 7 a.m. to 4, Monday through Friday, and then Saturdays 8 to noon.
Well, great. Well, it's an important place, and you wake up downtown Craig, Colorado, which is always fun because everybody else gets to work much later, and you just set the table, which is an important function
right.
for us. You're also in charge of and, the leader of Homemade Homegrown Festival. I understand that'll be again this July. Tell us about the event's history itself and how many years it's been going.
So, this is our, let me see, 6th year?
Wow.
Yes, I believe our 6th year. And we started as a way to have a farmer's market, like a one-day farmer's market. And then I had the idea of the homebrew competition, and it's just kind of grown from there. We've had, we added the brewery part in there just to give it a little bit more, just to get more to it. So you get to taste some craft breweries, some home brews. Anybody that likes craft brew beer, this is an event for them. They get to taste, like I said, some home brews. some professional brews. You get a vote on them, vote for your favorite one. It's just a all around good time. We all of our vendors, like we have some craft vendors. Everything has to be homemade or homegrown. We don't get too much produce. Just the wrong time of year, I think, for it. But we have such a short growing season here. But yeah, so that's kind of how it got started.
Well, the event sure has grown. Yeah, it sure has grown over the 6 years. I mean, that's one of the things about these invitations to our community is that we hope that they grow. And this one has certainly taken off.
It has. It really has. You know, when we first started, we had that first year, I think we had like three breweries, one of them being Yampa Valley Brewing Company, you know, so that's an obvious because they're right here. And then we had one from Steamboat and then just a couple more. And we really didn't have any representation from those breweries. It was more of, you know, just having their beer available. Like, I want to say like Odell's has been like a staple for us too, that we've always had their beer, but not really a representation. So the last couple of years, we've really expanded those breweries and having those that representation from them so they can really talk about their beer and promote it. So, and you know, a lot of that goes to Matt Moore and him talking to those breweries and saying, hey, this event is really growing. If you want to get your beer out there and you want people to visit your breweries and your town, you know, come and represent yourself. So we've had some, for instance, Firestone Walker, they're out of California, but they have a representative in Denver. So they come over, talk about their beers. We've had some breweries from Wyoming. Last year we had some from Wyoming. And I think we are going to have one from Oregon this year. So it's just really growing with the brewery representation.
And there's other things that happen at the event. I think I cut you off before that you have some live music that occurs and other vendors.
Right. Yeah. So we have craft vendors and food vendors, and that's all day. We have some bounce houses for the kids, and then we have live music all day. So we have in the morning, we like to have an open mic aspect just so that we can, you know, get some local flavor. If somebody wants to come and, you know, sing, play an instrument, whatever, it's a great way to, you know, kind of showcase yourself if you want to. And then we do have a couple of professional bands that come up from the Grand Junction area.
Well, great. So is there anything else new for 24 that we should make sure we let the audience know about?
Definitely. Just like I said, the breweries, you know, we have a couple new breweries that'll be here with some representation. Off the top of my head, I cannot tell you what the names of them are. Like I said, Matt Moore is the one that really gets those breweries to come over here. So we have that. That's new. And then, yeah, just more activities downtown. We do have a cornhole tournament. That's one of the bigger cornhole tournaments for us.
Yeah, so there's just a lot of activity, music going, lots of things to come and play. We just hope for a beautiful, sunny Moffat County day to enjoy the all of the things that go
absolutely.
On.
Absolutely.
I understand there's a bit of a challenge this year with the event because of the construction that is planned at Alice Pleasant Park. So what kind of adjustments are you planning to accommodate that change?
Yeah, that's right, Tom. They're redoing the Alice Pleasant Park. It's going to make it better just for usage-wise for these events. So we normally have our music tent in the park, and it gives the people a great place to sit and listen to the music. So we're going to have to move it into the street this year. The tent is actually going to be positioned between the Community Budget Center and Tease Me Salon. There's a parking lot right there, and so we're going to put the tent right there, and so have the music facing the street, of course, so people just more. They'll have to stand there, bring their lawn chairs, you know, sit in the street and listen to them instead of in the park. So that's our biggest challenge for this year.
But the changes in the park sound like they'll be positive ones. So in the future, we'll have an Alice Pleasant Park in downtown Craig that'll have public restrooms and some other amenities that might work great.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm looking. I'm definitely looking forward to the upgrade to the park. It'll be great.
Beautiful. So what other events are planned for downtown Craig this summer? What kind of things can people expect to find downtown this year?
Yeah, we have lots planned for this summer. We have a food truck carnival the first Saturday of every month, except August, because it does coincide with the Balloon Fest. And so we don't want to take away any vendors from that. So we don't do the food truck carnival that Saturday in August, but we will have one May, June, July, and September. And then in September, we have Fall Fest, and that's September 21st. And then backing up a little bit, I did miss, we have Rock Fest, which Rock Fest is July 27th. And that was in Alice Pleasant Park last year, and it was a huge hit. So we're like, the organizers of that said, let's do it again. But of course, with the construction in the park, where we had to completely move it to the 400 block. So it's going to be in the parking lot that's next to Mather's Bar. So we'll have it all in that parking lot there. And then, that's our summer. And we have a pretty full summer, something every month. And some months we have a couple things. So great.
Great. Well, tell us a little bit more about Fall Fest. Exactly when is it again? It's in September.
Uh-huh.
And
Fall Fest. Yes, yeah. Fall Fest is September 21st.
Okay.
And that one is, we have all kinds of activities for the kids, for adults. A cornhole tournament. We have a pumpkin patch. We have bounce houses. That event has really grown as well, because it started out just the 500 block. And we've grown it enough that we can block off the 400 block as well and have some vendors down in that area just to spread it all out, because we have so much going on. We have nonprofits that come and do activities. We have the pumpkin patch for the kids, for the bounce houses. We have live music all day, craft vendors, food vendors. It's a great family event.
Great. Well, those are all important. I mean, and also I think when I think of downtown in the fall, I think of Halloween and the Trick or Treat Street event. Tell us how Downtown Business Association is planning that. What date is it on? Is it actually on Halloween? Tell us about that.
Yes. So we always have Trick or Treat Street on Halloween, unless it falls on a Sunday. And that would be the only day that we would change it. So that only happens once in, 7-8 years. So it'll be on Thursday, October 31st this year. And we block off, the city's been great with all of our events too. They block off the 400 and 500 block of Yampa. So the kids can go up and down the street from business to business. They get candy or other treats. Sometimes, it's pencils or stickers or erasers or something like that. So it's not always just candy. And the parents don't have to worry about crossing the street with cars going by. That because the streets fill up, we have probably close to 2,000 people with kids and adults come downtown. So it's just nice not to have to worry about traffic, especially with the truck traffic that goes on Yampa Avenue. We just don't have to worry about that. And then we also, with that, we can have people that they want to do a trunk or treat, which we have the National Honor Society and Key Club from the high school. They come down and do a trunk or treat. So that's always fun for them as well as the kids. We have the police department, the sheriff's department, state patrol, that they usually bring down a car and they hand out candy too, and the kids love that. Last year we had CDOT came down with one of their trucks that handed out candy. Yampa Valley Electric, they come down with one of their big boom trucks or whatever they call them. But the kids love it. So we have all of the businesses, 400 and 500 blocks, they participate and give out candy, like I said. And it's a great, safe place for kids to trick-or-treat. Great for the little ones.
Right. And I understand you tell each organization to bring at least 2,000 pieces. Is that correct?
Yes.
So it sort of goes to how big the event kind of runs, and it's kind of fun to watch as it unfolds.
Exactly. It is. It's fun to just see the, all the kids that come down and the costumes that they have. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun for us business owners as well as the kids.
Well, great. Let's go to how these events come together. Tell us about some of the funding and where it comes from and how your events are sponsored.
Right. So a lot of our funding comes from businesses that sponsor these events. When we first started out, didn't require a lot of money, like I said, because our biggest expense is advertising and the music part of it. So those are our biggest expense. And in the beginning, we were able to just make it a community event, and we were able to fund them with just the vendor fees that we had. With the growth of it, though, and really trying to grow these events to bring in outside, you know, I don't want to say outsiders, but people from
visitors,
you know, around the region. Yeah. Bring more visitors to Craig, you know, from the Front Range or from Vernal or Utah, Wyoming, down in the Grand Junction area. To bring those people in, you know, we need to expand our advertising. So we've had to go to like the local marketing district. They've funded us, I believe, for the last three to four years with this, just to, like I said, advertising dollars to get those out. They also help us pay for the entertainment, because sometimes when we have these bands, they have their own following. So that brings you know, more people in just to listen to them. So it helps local marketing district to do that. And then Downtown Business Association as well. We have some other fundraisers that we do. We've been doing the beer garden for the fair, and we've got a couple other beer gardens that we do to help fund these events.
That, back to discussing the Downtown Business Association, when does the group meet, and who's in charge of meeting agendas and the business of the Downtown Business Association in general?
Right. So we meet the first Wednesday of every month at Downtown Books at 8 a.m. Tammy Villard is the one that to contact if you want to come and be on the agenda to talk about an event you have or anything else that you would like to bring up to us. And anybody is welcome. You don't have to be a downtown business owner. If you want to be involved in the community and you want to be involved in some of our events downtown, definitely come to the meeting. Come and be involved. We don't turn anybody away.
Well, you guys are a friendly bunch. You know, you accept me down there every once in a while.
Right?
So it works out pretty good. What else should people know?
Like I said, we accept anybody.
Yeah, just anybody.
Anybody.
What else should people know about the Craig Downtown Business Association?
Yeah, just that we're a group that likes to be involved. We appreciate our community and the business that they bring in. You know, this is the events that we do is a way to reward our customers, you know, to show our appreciation for you shopping locally. You know, without the local shoppers, we wouldn't be here. So we just want to, you know, with these events, it's just our way of saying, hey, we appreciate you. So that's why we do it.
Oh, great. So if people want to contact the Downtown Business Association or you, or what websites, phone numbers should they be aware of?
They can always contact me here at KS Creations at 970-824-2151. We do have a Facebook page, and it's Downtown Craig Business. And then we are in the process of creating a website so that we can get all of the information for those that don't have a Facebook page, you know, Facebook. So look for that in the future.
Great. Well, yeah. I think the Downtown Business Association website would be very good for everybody to gather the information and a lot of the information you gave us today.
Absolutely.
To put in one place. Well, thank you, Candy, for joining us today. It's been a pleasure.
All right.
And we'll see you downtown.
All right. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you. Take care. This has been the eighth edition of Visit Moffat County. If you or your organization would like to participate in future broadcasts, contact me at the Moffat County Tourism Association in Craig. Our number is 970-824-2335. Information on Moffat County, including upcoming events, can also be found online at visitmoffatcounty.com. Again, we thank Blizzard Communications for this public service announcement opportunity. Good day.
Thanks for listening to Visit Moffat County, an informative show on everything that's going on in and around Moffat County, made possible by Blizzard Broadcasting and heard right here on KRAI Craig, 55 Country at 550 AM and 105.1 FM, and on KRAI FM at 102.3 and 93.7.